Welcome to the Nonprofit News Feed, nonprofitnewsfeed.com, bringing you the best news from the best sector, news from a nonprofit perspective and what matters. This show brought to you by Whole Whale, a B Corp digital agency. Thanks for joining us. This week on the Nonprofit News Feed, my name is George Weiner, Chief Whaler of Whole Whale, and we have Nick Azulay, digital strategist at Whole Whale. We are talking about some, well, AI. In various flavors. One is it the end of foreign language education? And some interesting survey data about AI usage and adoption in nonprofits, as well as maybe some rosier trending predictions for the nonprofit sector in the US and Canada. How's it going, Nick?
It's going great, George. I'm excited to dive into it today. And we want to start at the top of the podcast with this article from The Atlantic titled The End of Foreign Language Education, which discussed the increasing prevalence of AI-powered language translation tools and their impact on language learning and cultural understanding. So, George, we here at Whole Whale, the proud builders of causewriter.ai, visit at causewriter.ai, think that AI could be a fantastic tool for so many organizations to do so many tasks. One of those tasks is to increase understanding and communication between communities that speak different languages. So this article really hones how much AI has become a part of the translation industry. Very easy to do quick transcriptions, even deep fake translation videos, George, which I know you like to play with. But the article also raises some concerns about the things that we miss when we use AI to translate, particularly lacking some cultural competency, understanding the nuances of language and context and that kind of thing, and risk replacing human emotion and human language with AI-generated language. So, George, we think that there are some really important ways that AI can help nonprofits, particularly as it comes to AI translation and language. But I wonder what you think about this story and The Atlantic's, I'd say, trepidation with this new technology.
Yeah, they talk about the tool HeyGen. HeyGen AI allows you to take any video, and we've played with some of this as well, and translate it into one of 40 plus different languages and kind of like moves your lips as though you were speaking French or speaking Mandarin, which is pretty impressive when you see it. Not perfect by any means, but they're extrapolating in here and saying, hey, is this the end of people learning foreign languages other than their primary language? And I think there's always two sides of a coin to consider. But on the positive side, where I like to look is realizing that there are many, many number of nonprofits that work with communities that have English as a second language. And as far as access to services, benefits, if we're talking about SNAP benefits, if there is government assistance programs, guess what? If you don't speak English and you don't understand the language, you tend to need help. You tend to be excluded from those resources, and nonprofits that work on the front lines in this way are, you know, often facing many different languages and challenges there. And I'm excited. I'm excited because I think if you play this forward a little bit more in the idea of live translation and the ability for nonprofits to work with an AI tech translator that could dynamically do this, you could be much more effective and efficient in helping those populations for whom English is a second language, yet they still need these resources. And so I think there's two ways of obviously looking at it. I'm more optimistic in watching how these tools roll out to, again, organizations providing those types of, you know, frontline services.
Yeah, George, I think that's right. I think the article does bring some important concerns to the forefront, but particularly from the nonprofit tech angle, thinking about ways tech can improve social good, I think that accessibility piece is so important, right? Think even about, you know, the migrant crisis in the United States. So many migrants coming. There are so many languages spoken in Latin America, regional dialects, indigenous languages, etc., that require translators well beyond Spanish, right? These are like hyper-localized languages. If AI can help facilitate getting people the help they need in emergencies or other kind of stressful contexts, I think that that's a win. So I think yes, there are concerns, but there are also significant benefits that could ultimately help people, particularly individuals who speak lesser known languages or help organizations that lack the resources to do translation that could help them provide better services to local communities.
Yeah, the need for, you know, multilingual person in every single conversation significantly decreases and allows more people to do the work more effectively. I do think it is important to note that there are a lot of cultural nuances to language, to how it's phrased. But I think the alternative is, you know, not having that ability or using something that is like much worse, like a, you know, an old school Google Translate to be like, all right, here are the words I'm trying to do back and forth. And I think AI, as it gets smarter, I mean, these are large language models, LLMs. They are specifically designed. They were designed in and around this fundamental purpose. And I think it is possible to add in cultural context, potentially, as you begin to build these tools in better ways than, you know, the Google Translate dropdowns have and can have hilariously got rote translations just incorrect for, you know, purposes of content. The other thing I encourage you all to play with is HeyGen AI, not a sponsor, but interesting to say, take a piece of public awareness content of how to get access to this, or, hey, here is the detrimental side effects of radon in your community, and you want that translated into, I don't know, say Spanish or into a dialect. Give it a shot and see what happens. Always check with a native speaker just to make sure that it is aligned. But I think you'd be surprised how good that content is getting.
Yeah, George, I think that's right. And even to the point of accessibility, George, you and I have on multiple projects gone through the process of helping clients of ours translate websites. That is an enormously, monumentally expensive task that even large organizations struggle to essentially be able to afford and implement. And if your organization's providing critical services, even the task of having the website in Spanish or XYZ language, which could take enormous resources, if it helps people at the end of the day, I think that's something to explore, right? So really interesting conversation here. Another interesting conversation, right, is thinking about these LLM platforms and the content that they're training on. There's, of course, the New York Times lawsuit that OpenAI has pretty much scraped the New York Times verbatim to feed its model. But it's going to be interesting to see how these AI models deal with content as it deals with languages not English, the type of content they're training on, the copyright debates around that. I think we saw somewhere that the country of Iceland actually gave up a whole host of content. They actually willingly provided OpenAI with a tremendous amount of content in Icelandic so that the model actually properly understands Icelandic as a language better, because there's not a whole ton of native Icelandic speakers out there. So a lot of interesting, complicated, but important debates for nonprofits to be tuned into.
It's a catch-22 sometimes of saying, hey, hand over all of your native dialect and information so that it can be preserved in a US-based company's large language model that is then sold back to you. I think ownership and access are two different conversations. Both are important, but if you are holding on to a database like that, you know, you're having a lot of nuanced conversations about what it means to just hand it over to essentially Microsoft or Google or Anthropic, which is now slowly becoming Google or Amazon, right?
Amazon.
They're familiar names. You may notice them.
Yeah, Amazon put in another, I think, $2.7 billion into Anthropic
a
couple of weeks ago.
Their largest investment in history. They're clearly doubling down there.
Wild. All right, George, speaking of big tech, you know, you love them. Google has released its survey on 3 insights from nonprofits about generative AI. So the survey is really interesting. And it found that nonprofits globally recognize Gen AI's potential to revolutionize their marketing efforts, 75% seeing it as transformative for marketing. However, 2/3 of nonprofits cite a lack of familiarity with AI as a significant barrier, and 40% of nonprofits lack in-house AI education. Google, of course, touts its ad grant and other kind of nonprofit adjacent programs. But George, I think this is really interesting. Nonprofits see the upside, but I think might be a little overwhelmed with struggling how to understand how to get there.
To my knowledge, you know, the 4,000 nonprofits surveyed inside of this project really do show one of the larger nonprofit focused AI surveys out there. What's more is that this is a self-selected group of probably more tech forward organizations leveraging the Google ad grants, leveraging the Google services that give you disproportionate digital footprint expansion. And so of, I would say, like the asterisk here is like of tech-savvy nonprofits, of 4,000 tech-savvy nonprofits, still we are seeing numbers like 40% saying they lack AI education, and nonprofits without AI familiarity are 2/3. So I think the potential is seen for transforming, you know, 3/4 to say like, hey, this is going to transform what we're doing. They also note, not part of the survey, but from a Nielsen Norman Group survey, that they have seen a 66% employee productivity increase, which is something that any nonprofit that is dealing with capacity issues, which I would categorize all, right? Would you be doing more if you could? The answer is yes, is now becoming aware of this. And so I am always hungry for more nonprofit surveys. If you have one, if you're doing one, reach out to us, share the results. We'd be more than happy to participate. But it's important to kind of get those moments in time and understanding of where the market is and what services are frankly lacking. And you're realizing it's not just the tool, right? ChatGPT is there. It's sitting right there. We all know where to go. And now it's more about, hey, how do we actually use this, the capacity and education of using it properly?
Yeah, George, I think that's exactly right. And pivoting into our next story, this is from Nonprofit Pro. Speaking of understanding the market, the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy at Indiana University has released a forecast predicting a positive shift in nonprofit giving with a predicted increase of 4.2% in 2024 and 3.9% in 2025. Some of the factors that determine that growth in philanthropic nonprofit giving include average growth in personal income and net worth, improved consumer sentiment, increasing stock market performance, and a variety of other factors. They, of course, caveat that projections are subject to change based on economic and political uncertainties. But George, this is, I think, positive news, right? They're predicting an increase in 2024, an increase in 2025, an increase in foundation giving of 10% in 2024 as well. So disbursements from foundations. So I think this is positive news for nonprofits that might be looking for some positive indicators, right? These aren't monumental increases, but I think given the trend last year in which we regressed a bit, I think this is welcome news.
Yeah, we want to see some number go up, I think, especially for philanthropy. Looking at the overall market, I think this is a pretty safe bet that, you know, the forecast for GDP growth of 2.4% in 2024, that number is always going up or down. And we know that giving tends to map to about 2% GDP thereabouts. So it trended a little lower last year at 1.9, but it floats around that number. And I think putting out that projection, sometimes like things get better because we say it's going to get better and then we get to believe it's going to be better. So I really like them putting out this type of, hey, folks, you know, like this is hopefully going to be an increased amount of giving this year for nonprofits.
Exactly, George. Inflation's a state of mind. Everyone pretend like prices are going down, please.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. Oh my goodness. I am never giving up this apartment. All right. Speaking of I try. Our next story comes from the one and only government of Canada. Who doesn't love Canada? In 2023, Canada's nonprofit sector, integral to the economy and society, contributed $216.5 billion, or 8.2% of GDP, according to the new Canadian Survey on Business Contributions. In particular, of that, 7% in this survey of women serve on nonprofit boards, with 70% of boards including women for social service organizations, and about 41.5% of these organizations are reliant on individual donations. So, George, this is a significant percentage of the Canadian GDP going to nonprofit and social service organizations.
Yeah, just for comparison's sake, you know, 8.2% GDP is attributed to nonprofit activity, the nonprofit sector in Canada. In comparison, the U.S. sees it about 5.7% thereabouts contributing to the GDP in the U.S. The nonprofit sector, though, for the U.S. actually contributes about 10% of the labor market, and so that's actually something that's like kind of more valuable in my mind of like, Where are people employed? Where are people working? And I'm keeping an eye on that number in particular as we look at joblessness rates due to AI, the AI transition, and where, frankly, we are going to find purpose in our roles in the economy and in working and in jobs. And I think I believe that we're going to see much higher than the 10% going toward nonprofit sector in terms of our labor in the U.S. But I like seeing this in Canada, seeing how valuable the economic sector is and those stats there.
Amazing. About time we talked about Canada.
Finally, Canada getting its due.
All right. How about a feel-good story, George?
Yeah, what do you got?
This one comes from WDJT, and it is local nonprofit delivers 4,500 meals to seniors on Easter. So Milwaukee's Community Projects for Seniors delivered a record-breaking 4,500 meals to local seniors, ensuring those without a family still were able to experience the joy of the Easter season. And over 500 volunteers filled the Oak Creek East Middle School into a bustling hub of compassion, serving ham, mac and cheese, and other delicious sides for seniors this Easter. So you'll love to see it. And I think it's joyous to be able to provide for the community like that.
All right, Nick, I do have a story. Now, it's not a story. It's more of a question. Are you ready?
No.
You can't possibly be ready. But what does the ASPCA call it when a kitten gets stuck in a tree?
I don't know, George.
A catastrophe.
Yikes.
Catastrophe.
I see.
I didn't need to say it again. I feel like you got it immediately.
I got it. That one I got it in the bag.
All right, Nick. Thanks for bringing us the news. Have a good one.
Thanks, George.
This has been the Nonprofit News Feed Summary of the Week. Thanks for joining us. As always, you can find resources at nonprofitnewsfeed.com. And don't forget to sign up for our weekly email summaries of the best news from the best sector.